my whole family. Just keep your phony culture war
and keep your fucking tea.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michael Hiltzig, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist who has been with the Los Angeles Times for more than 20 years. In that time, he has worked as a financial and political writer and a foreign correspondent serving in Africa and Russia. He received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry, and his books include The Plot Against Social Security, Dealers of Lightning, Xerox PARC, and The Dawn of the Computer Age, A Death in Kenya, and his most recent work, Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Hiltzig.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you, Ian.
And in terms of the Koch brothers sending this letter to the United States Senate, to all the senators, basically distancing themselves from the current activities of the Tea Party, I mean, apparently they're alarmed at the prospect of the grave damage that the actions of this congressional caucus that they've supported will do to the economy and to their $70 billion fortune. But what's your take on it? I mean, is this like a sort of having fed a guard dog and it grows up so big that it takes over the house?
Well, I think that's been happening to a lot of the people who've been funding this extreme right wing. Is they've come to the recognition that they've created a monster, the guard dog that you can't control anymore. Call it what you will. I think certainly what's happened, the latest opinion polls are very clear. The fact that the Democrats and President Obama have really held firm in a way that nobody anticipated, certainly not the Republicans anticipated they would. This really is beginning to look like a Republican Armageddon, and anybody who was associated with fomenting this shutdown and this threat to the debt limit is going to get splashed with a lot of mud. The Koch brothers, if there's anything they hate, it's attracting a lot of attention, and they're attracting exactly the wrong kind of attention this way. So yeah, they're backing off. They're disavowing this. They're not the only ones. This really has looked like the Republican nightmare, and I think we're going to see a lot of hands being folded over the next 24 or 48 hours.
So it would seem to me, Michael Hiltzig, that the deal that's just been offered, where they will suspend going after they will suspend defaulting on the debt until November the 22nd, and negotiate all of the stuff that they want to negotiate in the interregnum. But the long and the short of it is that it's not an end to this situation. So, do you think that the Republicans can, in fact, in the terms of the PR war that's going on now, can they win this one while they are being both the arsonists and the fire brigade?
Well, no, I think what the Republicans are looking at is a choice between being blamed for a disaster and being blamed for a catastrophe. I think this offer that they made really, as I wrote today on my blog, really achieves absolutely nothing. And in fact, there were some kickers in there that would have made things worse. I mean, what they were offering was a relief from the debt limit until the Friday before Thanksgiving. And one of their conditions was that they were going to outlaw any of the sort of extraordinary measures that the Treasury has been taking and can take to stave off default for a few days or maybe a week or two or maybe a little bit longer after the debt limit is reached. In other words, they were going to give the country six more weeks of relief, but they were going to make it even harder to deal with their refusal to raise the debt limit. I think this was, as I wrote today, this was clearly a non-starter. And let's not forget that they weren't even offering to resume the government in that time. They were going to now first start negotiating. I think clearly what President Obama said was, that's not the deal. And the Republicans came away. They're meeting tonight all night. I guess the Democrats are meeting tonight all night. Maybe they'll have Democrats and Republicans meeting. But that was an opening salvo that just fell into the ocean pointlessly. So it's a start that the Republicans are coming around and actually starting to say what they want out of this, but they didn't offer anything.
But by being both the arsonists and the fire brigade, they're also basically saying that they're the ones that want to talk and the other side doesn't want to talk. And does this, the fact that they're talking, I suppose, undermines that argument?
Well, I don't really think so, Ian. I think it was so clear, and this offer was so universally ridiculed, that it doesn't look genuine. So, and, you know, with every day that passes, with the shutdown, with every day that passes, more Americans are actually feeling the direct effects. More services that are being cut, more services that people need, and not just poor people or the disadvantaged, but middle-class Americans are discovering that they need the government to do things that they didn't understand were necessary to them, but they're discovering it, and they're discovering they can't access this. It just looks worse and worse. The opinion polls, I can't remember when I've seen such a sharp drop in the standing of either party in a matter of days. As I said, this is Armageddon. There was nothing that happened today that's good for the Republicans, and that includes coming up with this spavined, pointless offer that was rejected. They went off from the White House with their tails between their legs. They know they're going to have to come back, and every time they come back, they're going to basically be capitulating a little bit more. So I really think they do not look good. They did not look good today. This offer does not look good. They thought, over the last few days that if they offered to open pieces of the government bit by bit, that would back the Democrats against the wall. That didn't work. Nobody wants that. Nobody thinks that's a solution. It really looks like the American public is really going over on the side of the Democrats. They understand this is a Republican stunt, and it's failing.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Hiltzik, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist who has been with the Los Angeles Times for more than 20 years. In that time, he's worked as a financial and political writer and a foreign correspondent serving in Africa and Russia. He received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry. His books include The Plot Against Social Security, Dealers of Lightning, Xerox Park, and The Dawn of the Computer Age, A Death in Kenya, and his most recent work, Colossus, Hoover Dam and the Making of the American Century. So obviously all politicians' primary objective is to get reelected. And the extent to which John Boehner appears to be trapped, and many have said that John Boehner wants to keep his job at the expense of hundreds of thousands of Americans losing their job, that he's being sort of bullied by this boisterous and restive caucus of Tea Party extremists, and they've got him over a barrel, and he can't afford to repudiate them because they'll kick him out, and that's why he can't do this so-called clean CR, continuing resolution, and allow the majority to pass it, which would happen with all the Democrats voting with enough Republicans who are upset, and these are the moderate Republicans. So walk us through the political calculus here, Michael Hiltzik. On the one side, we're told that the Tea Party people and their backers are doing these extreme things because they want to stave off an even more right-wing challenger from the further to the right in the Tea Party in primaries. And they also want to make life difficult for the few Democrats in the red states and get them on the record of being in favor of Obamacare and all the terrible things that they believe the government does. And then on the other side, you've got this irony that the public, the PPP polling recently said that they thought that the Dems could pick up the House in 2014 at the expense of the very moderate Republicans who would vote with the Democrats if there were a clean CR vote allowed by John Boehner. Do you see that as an irony?
Well, that would be an irony, but I think if let's look at sort of the larger context here. The fact of the matter is, and we saw this in 2012 in the election, but it's been building for some time, is that the demographics of the American electorate are moving decisively against the Republicans, particularly against the right wing of the Republican Party. In 2012, it really emerged as a regional, marginal party. It happens to have a very strong veto right now in the House of Representatives. It may keep that next year, but in the larger sense, I think governorships are going to move against the Republican Party. It's going to be very hard for them to come up with a candidate who appeals to the emerging demographics of the United States. The United States is becoming much more Hispanic. It's becoming a majority minority. These are not Republican voters. They're certainly not voters for this Republican Party. And as we've seen now over and over again, the Republicans have just been horrible at reaching out to these voters. I think in the next election, or maybe the election after that, you're going to see Texas become no longer a red state, maybe a purple state, maybe even a blue state. So the Republican position, they're going to be defending a smaller redoubt here. You may have, because of gerrymandering and because of the ferocious ideology and the extremism of the congressional districts that they have, they may be able to hold on to a majority, but they're going to lose a lot of other things, and their position is going to become progressively more tenable. Now, when you talk about whether they could whether they could hold the House, it's hard for the Democrats, but I'm not sure if you really looked at the districts where the Republicans really have no competition, where they're gerrymandered into place, where that's necessarily enough by itself to hold the Republican majority in the House. What the Democrats have always needed is a talking point. Well, now they have one. And I think you are already seeing Democrats running ads against Republicans where there are elections coming up in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks, hanging this government shutdown around the Republican candidate's neck. That's just a precursor of what you're going to see a year from now when the entire House of Representatives is up for election. And it's the Democrats' task is going to be not to let the voters forget this. This is causing a lot of pain. It is already past the point of no return. It's a disaster economically. We are going to see the effects of this in economic growth figures for the next two quarters at the very least. So it's bad for the Republicans. The Democrats, if they have any intellect at all, are going to figure out how to exploit it. So this is just not good.
So, Michael Hilton, does that mean then that the so-called moderate Democrats, and one of the most outspoken against what his party's doing now is Peter King, and he's very conservative?
Well, he's a Republican.
That's what I'm saying. Let me repeat that. The most moderate Republicans, and prominent among them is Peter King, who is hardly a moderate. I think he's quite conservative, and he would tell you so. He's opposed to it. It's mostly Northeastern and Californian Republicans that the Democrats could get to join them if they got a clean CR to open up the government again. I think that's pretty clear. Now, for their survival, it's probably better that they don't take a vote, wouldn't it be? I mean, how are they? Aren't these the seats that the Democrats can pick off in 2014? They're not going to pick off the Tea Party seats. That's why these guys do what they do. They're completely immune from...
Well that's true. I think Peter King is not in a strong district. I mean, he represents part of Manhattan in New York City. I don't think it's simply... First of all, there aren't a lot of Northeastern and California Republicans in Congress anymore. That's really one of the ways that the Republicans have become marginalized, as they've lost the Northeast. We know what's happened to them in California. They not only lost I mean, they lost their veto in the California legislature, which was sort of their last bastion. But I think there are a lot of Republicans, not necessarily moderate Republicans. They can be conservative Republicans, but they can see that this is not good for the Republican brand, and they will vote to restart the government and to raise the debt limit, because they know that the party can't win this. It doesn't mean that they would vote with the Democrats on many other things, but they know that we're really talking about what the number is, 20 or 30, 35 Tea Party, really extremist Tea Party Republicans who are gumming up the works. And, of course, it's Boehner. Every count that I've seen says that if Boehner were to put a clean CR, that is, reopen the government with no conditions and raise the debt limit on the floor, it would win with, it might even win with a majority of Republican votes plus Democratic votes. So I think basically he's trying to preserve something of his coalition by stretching this out to the bitter end. But the government could reopen probably by the end of today if he would do it, and he probably knows it, and he's just going to play it out a little bit longer so that he looks strong. But I don't think you need just Republicans in swing districts in those regions to win. You've got Republicans in the Midwest who think this is insane. You've got Republicans in the Southwest who know they're not doing themselves any favors. So, and I think, if the Democrats pick up some of these districts, like Peter King's district, that would not be bad.
But what are the chances of Boehner allowing a clean CR? That would be the end of him, wouldn't it?
Well, not necessarily. Let's not forget that the entire House votes for Speaker. And I think there's every reason to think that he might not lose his own majority among Republicans to vote him in as Speaker. And even if he did, there would be Democrats who might vote with him. There's always a chance that if Boehner lost the speakership, we'd have a less conservative speaker. You might actually see a speaker from the centrist wing of the Republican Party. So that's why it's so hard for people to really understand what Boehner is up to. He's playing this out as though he can't survive without the Tea Party, but the numbers don't really say that.
Yeah, but isn't the most likely successor Eric Cantor, who is more Tea Party like and hardline than even Boehner is? Boehner seems, he acts like he's a hardliner, but my understanding is that he's not quite that rigid in private as he appears.
Well,
in public.
I think that would be certainly Cantor is a strong candidate to be Speaker, but if the vote were thrown open and Republican candidates split, then the Democrats might actually have the upper hand and might favor a less extremist, less intransigent Republican. So I'm not so sure that Cantor is as popular among his fellows in the Republican Party as it looks like. We don't really know. That's what makes politics. But I'm not sure it's right to say that Cantor is the inevitable successor, because he might look like an even more extreme Boehner. And there are a lot of Republicans who think that they've been led down to disaster by the intransigence that we have.
Well, ironically, you were just saying a little while back, Michael Hiltzik, that the Republicans have finally given the Democrats a narrative for this election next year in 2014. And if that's the logic, then they should be grateful for the Tea Party, and they should want the wrecking crew to be running that place, running the Republican Party into the ground.
Well, I think I think the Democrats have witnessed this Republican crack up with not a little bit of glee, and unfortunately, it's hurt the country. But I think the Republicans in Congress are on a path to self-destruction, and I don't think the Democrats are in a mood to step in and save them from themselves. So yeah, I think the Democrats, are enjoying that. I mean, the standoff unnerves everybody, including me, and I'm sure you. But I don't think there's any doubt that the American public sees this as a Republican stunt, and they're blaming them for it.
Well, Michael Hiltzik, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Hiltzik, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist who has been with the Los Angeles Times for more than 20 years. In that time, he's worked as a financial and political writer and a foreign correspondent serving in Africa and Russia. He received the 1999 Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry, and his books include The Plot Against Social Security, Dealers of Lightning, Xerox PARC, and The Dawn of the Computer Age, A Death in Kenya, and his most recent book is Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Colin Black. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.